listening to Truth to You with Jono and also Hani in the studio. Thank you for joining us once again.
You're welcome.
And joining us on the program today is Deborah of the Cultured Karaite. The website is culturedkaraites.blogspot.com. Deborah, g'day.
Well, g'day to you. I'm from Texas. I got to say howdy.
Howdy. How are you going? It was marvelous to have you back. And last time you were on the program, we were talking about key fear, a fear of keys, key phobia. And what's it all about?
No.
Well, tell us again, remind everybody, what is key fear?
Well, key fear is actually a way to culture milk or dairy, goat's milk, honey. Milks goats every day, and she makes kefir. And these are little lactobacilli, different kinds of lactobacilli grains that you put in fresh dairy, and it does marvelous things to it.
Now, Deb, this is interesting because I will often have for lunch a banana smoothie, and actually I prefer with strawberries, banana strawberry smoothie with kefir. Do you ferment your fruit, or do you put it into the smoothie afterwards with the kefir? Or
the way I do it is what I call a second ferment. When I have my jar of kefir, I've taken my grains out of it, and I will actually leave that sitting on the cabinet another 12 hours. And I do put my fruit in it. You can put crushed strawberries, you could put crushed blueberries. Right now in the United States, oranges are citrus fruit, you know, is in season right now. So I've been putting an orange slice in mine and then taking the other two halves of the orange and squeezing the juice into it. And I allow it to sit for 12 to 18 hours on the cabinet before I refrigerate it. And what this accomplishes is it makes the kefir a little bit smoother, not quite so tart, not quite so sharp tasting. It gives it a smoother taste. And what it does is it allows the fruit to semi-ferment because of the lactobacilli in the kefir. And what that does is it increases the goodness of the fruit, the vitamins, the minerals. It actually enhances them. And then it will take that and change it slightly, just like it does the milk. And it makes more of those good things, the vitamins, the minerals, the bioflavonoids, those things that I don't really know too much about, but I read a lot about them. They make them more bioavailable to your body. So your body's able to absorb more things than if you just, say, drank a glass of milk or ate an orange. Mm. So right now, I'm kind of on an orange kick, and I put some orange in my kefir, let it sit, what I call a second ferment, 12 to 18 hours, and then I refrigerate it.
Okay, Deb, so with that second ferment in the orange, to me, I think citrus and milk.
I know.
Never mixed that before. To me, it would, in my mind, seem to sort of curdle it. So that doesn't actually happen with the kefir?
It doesn't. Not only does it not happen, and this is, if anybody had ever told me that I would like fizzy milk, yeah, I would have told them they were nuts. But kefir will make the milk just slightly effervescent because from the lactic acid that's formed, what it gives off is an amount of carbon dioxide. It's not a big amount, but it's a small amount of carbon dioxide, and it will actually make it just slightly fizzy. And to me, with the orange in it, it's like an orange creamsicle or like an orange creamsicle drink, and it's extremely refreshing.
Right.
This is like, can I just clarify, this is like some yogurts. Like yogurt drinks will have sort of a tang to them. Is this what you're referring to?
Yes. And the kefir, to me, without the second ferment, is quite a bit sharper than that. But it will calm down with a second ferment.
So, again, this is one of those paradigm shifting.
Yeah, isn't it?
A big one, a very big one.
Yeah. So you're saying the second ferment really settles down the tartness of the kefir.
It does. It doesn't go away, but it does make it a lot smoother, and of course, you know, if you leave something to ferment like that, it will after time just become more and more and more sour.
Right.
That's how the process goes. So that's why I only leave the second for about 12 to 18 hours to give it a chance to smooth out a little bit. And if I've put fruit in it, give it a chance to glean the good stuff from that fruit and enhance it.
Right. Now, do you then refrigerate it and drink it cold, or do you just drink it straight?
Now, in the beginning, we didn't drink it straight because it was a little bit, like you say, it was a big paradigm shift, but we really wanted to incorporate kefir into our lives. So we would refrigerate it. And now it just depends on if we're thirsty, if it makes it to the refrigerator.
Sure. now, just one other question about the second ferment, the lid. Now, do you put the lid, is it a tight lid on the second ferment? Because I know with the first one, it's we either have the lid slightly off to release the carbon dioxide.
Right. I actually put a paper on when I put the kefir greens into fresh milk. I actually just put a coffee filter over the top with a rubber band. Oh. But yes, on the second ferment, I do put a lid on, because one of the things that's going to happen as this carbon dioxide is forming, I really don't want it to escape. I really want it to stay in my kefir, because I do like that little bit of fizziness to it. So I do put the lid on tight. Right. And leave it for 12 to 18 hours.
Isn't it the most bizarre thing, though, I have to just point out, because I know a lot of people are thinking, hang on, so you're suggesting that I can drink warm, fizzy milk, which is mixed with orange juice, and like, yeah, I don't know if it
and you will more, like it.
If it gets more bizarre than that. But, you know, just talking about that, it reminded me of a Bible verse, and that is in the Song of Solomon, verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 1, rather, it says, I have come to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Now, I don't know about you, but if I drink wine with milk, I'm guaranteed to have a most unenjoyable time in the bathroom for hours on end. But here, it seems to be some sort of... And then it goes on to say, and his friends say, eat, oh friends, drink, yes, drink deeply, oh beloved ones, drink your wine with your milk. Oh my goodness, are you serious? But do you think it's possible that they might be talking about grape juice in milk, fermented drink? Is that possible?
That is entirely possible. We know that wine is fermented, and it was in that day it was fermented. We talked about the lactobacillus being everywhere, so it's entirely possible that could be that way. And I think that there are other scriptures where we know, we may not know specifically that the milk was kefir, but we do know that it was cultured. And there are a couple of ways we know that. We know it from the context of the scripture, but we also have to realize that this was the method of preservation for dairy and for cheese making and for preservation of vegetables, mm-hmm. In ancient times, because we know how from ancient writings how they did their fermenting.
I want to talk about the science of kefir, but before we do that, while we're talking about scripture references, you mentioned last time that we spoke that there were a number of scripture references that would suggest the fermentation of foods, drinks, milk, and so on and so forth, kefir. Can you give us some of those?
I'd be glad to. As a matter of fact, I actually wanted to check with my Karaite Hakam. Hakam is a Hebrew word that means wise one or mm-hmm. sage. And I wanted to get some insight from him about the word kama, because we find the word kama in 9 verses in the Tanakh. And every time in the King James, it's translated as butter. And there are places where I don't think that fits. And that was what he was helping me to see and understand, that you really have to go by the context of the scripture and how he felt like that kama actually includes all kinds of dairy, such as butter, cheese, yogurt, and some kind of cultured milk. We don't know if it's kefir. It could have been like a buttermilk or a soured milk, a clabbered milk, we call it here in the South. Mm-hmm. But it's every indication that this word covers a lot more territory than just butter. And we went through some scriptures, and it was very interesting. And I think you could clearly see from the context of these what he was talking about. One of the ones, of course, I think that everybody's really familiar with is when three men come up to Abraham in the heat of the day. What's interesting to me about that is that it was the heat of the day, and Abraham jumps up and he wants to serve these men the very best that he has. And in Genesis 18, verse 8, it says, "And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat." And this is the word kama. And so from this passage, we actually can't tell if they were eating, you know, butter and drinking milk and eating this calf. We don't know for sure. It actually could be cheese. So the indication that they had butter and milk indicates they probably weren't drinking this kama in this situation. But we go on to another verse, and in 2 Samuel chapter 17, starting in verse 27, it says, "And it came to be, when David had come to Mahanaim, that Shobi, son of Nahash, from Rabbah of the children of Ammon, and Machir, son of Amiel, from Lodabar, and Barzillai the Gileadite, from Rogalim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and roasted grain and beans and lentils and parched vegetables and honey and chama and sheep and cheese of the herd for David and the people who were with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." So in this case, chama could have very easily been a cultured drink. And again, because I've experienced how refreshing kefir is, I really, you know, think that the possibility here is great that it was something to drink. But I think the most telling part that kama is not always something to eat, that it's could be something to drink, is a great couple of passages in the book of Judges. And it starts out in Judges 4. We know this story where Deborah and Barak were chasing this the bad guy, Sisera, and Sisera escapes, and he actually runs on foot for quite a while. And he comes to the tent of a lady named Yael, and he's exhausted, he's panting, it's very hot in Israel, and I think one of the things that I experienced for myself living there was it's extremely arid, so you really need water all the time there, much more than in other places that aren't quite so arid. And in verse 19, he runs to the tent and he says to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I'm thirsty." So she opened a bottle of, and it says Kalev, which is milk, and gave him a drink and covered him because he was exhausted. He just fell down. And he said to her, "Stand at the door of the tent, and it shall be if anyone comes and asks you and says, 'Is there a man here?' you shall say, 'No.' But Yael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into the side of his head, and it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep." He was fast asleep and exhausted, and he died. Well, first of all, she had some strength, boy. In her arms, she had some strength. But she gave him milk, it says, Kalev, and he went fast asleep. Well, we know, you know, that milk can make us sleepy. But the interesting thing comes in Judges 5 when there's a song celebrating what she has done. They've written this wonderful song to her to celebrate her and make her famous. And in Judges chapter 5, verse 24, the song begins, "Blessed above women is Yael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Above women in tents, she is blessed. He asked for water, she gave him milk. She brought out kama in a bowl for nobles. She stretched her I just don't believe that was butter. I mean, because it says he drank. She stretched her hand to the tent peg and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And the rest, as they say, is history. But the song celebrates that she brought out chama. So I believe definitely that this was a cultured milk or a cultured product, dairy product, that he actually drank.
Nice. So what I've seen in various translations, when he says to her, please give me something to drink, I'm sure I've read some translations have translated it as sour milk, and I've always thought, why would you give someone sour milk? How disgusting! I mean, he must be really, really thirsty. I mean, obviously the guy's been.
She knew who he was.
Well, yes, yeah, so she didn't like him very much. She gave him sour milk, and I thought that's so odd. And of course, but I'm just looking in my my New King James I have in front of me, and in the chapter 5 that you're talking about, it says verse 25. He asked for water. She gave milk. She brought out cream, it says, in a lordy bowl. And so there's obviously different translations in regards to it, but doesn't it make perfect sense that it would be some kind of kefir? Now, obviously, he is exhausted. He's absolutely exhausted, having escaped running for his life, literally. But I always wondered about that, and I wondered about this so-called sour milk, and the question has to be asked, is there a calming effect of kefir? Is it does it help one sleep? I mean, to be able to sneak up on him and drive a tent peg through his noggin, or is it just that he was absolutely and utterly exhausted?
Actually, milk itself has an amino acid called tryptophan, and tryptophan is known to induce relaxation and sleep, and has a very calming effect. Uh-huh. And the interesting thing about kefir is that it actually takes everything in milk, no matter, milk has several different amino acids, and it actually enhances them, makes those effects a little bit stronger, enhances the calcium. You actually get more calcium from a glass of kefir than a glass of regular milk because of the action of the lactobacilli. So, and B vitamins, increases the B vitamins across the board exponentially. It increases everything, which is actually amazing to me, that something was created and invented that makes something that's actually already good for you even better.
Mm.
The vegetables that are good for you, the fermentation process makes them even better, and the dairy as well. So, yes, I drink a glass of kefir every night before I go to bed. I sleep like a baby. And kefir, in the relaxation process that kefir has, and I don't understand it, but it actually will clear blood vessels and will lower your blood pressure.
Oh, indeed.
And of course, you'll have a good night's sleep because of that as well.
So in the song that is sung in chapter 5 of Judges, in celebrating what Yael has done, when it says he asked for water, she gave him milk, it's as if to say she's a quick thinker. She wanted to put him down and make sure that he was thoroughly asleep. He's obviously exhausted. Let's relax him so that he's absolutely asleep, because I'm going to drive a tent peg through this guy. That's kind of what it's saying.
I couldn't agree with you more. I believe that's exactly what it's saying. She knew that it was going to induce a deeper sleep for him.
Okay. There we go. So now you've just touched on, actually, before I move on to that, are there any other scripture, any other verses, passages that may be referring to kefir?
Those are actually two of the best ones that we know. The other ones are obscure in the fact of saying that they eat the kama rather than drink it. The one in Samuel and the one in Judges, we know for sure that it's probably something that is being something that is a liquid, not a solid.
Okay.
So,
saying earlier, Dev, Chani has been making kefir cream cheese, which spreads quite solidly, but spreads, and it's absolutely delicious. Could it be referring to something like that?
I'm sure that it was, because, you know, and I know that they were able to make different cheeses, but they would have started with a cultured dairy product. Mm-hmm. And then how they made it from there, I'm not sure. But I tell you, they didn't have probably the cheddar cheese that we have today, or sure. the different kinds of cheeses like that. I believe their cheeses would have been certainly all based from a soured milk, a cultured milk, well, as the base.
Well, and the benefits of that too are much greater too, because I mean we're talking about a raw product as well. We're not pasteurizing or cooking the kefir before. Well, I don't anyway. I just basically.
Oh no. If you heat it, it'll die.
Yeah. It'll die. So let me just ask a question, because you mentioned that the King James translates it every time as butter. Is there such a thing as butter made from kefir?
Yes, there is. Well, actually, it's called cultured butter. I don't know that it's necessarily made from kefir, but probably, especially in ancient times, all butter was cultured. Now, today, you can get butter that's made very quickly that is not cultured. I'm very fortunate where I shop that I'm able to buy cultured butter. It's a tiny bit more expensive, not a lot, but a little bit, and it's made with the live cultures. Mm-hmm. So, you're pretty well guaranteed that health benefit of the cultured butter. But all butter today is not cultured. And I believe it certainly would have been back in ancient days, because it was their method of preservation.
Right.
It's my experience so far with my kefir journey, which is not very long, probably only a few months really, not even less than a year. But it's basically, kefir is a really easy way to culture, really, isn't it?
It's extremely easy. And I think that's one of the hardest things that I'm having, trouble when people I meet, they say, oh, I don't have time to do that. And I tell them, you don't have time not to do this.
Mm. Well, actually, it's funny you should say that, because my father was complaining of some digestive issues and I suggested to him, look, Dad, I think you would really like this sauerkraut that Hani's been making. And I said, it's healthy for you. And I'm explaining it to him, and he says, it sounds really great. Can you send me the recipe? I'll show it to Mum. So he showed Mum the recipe, and Mum said, oh, no, I don't do that in the kitchen. That's too busy for me. No, I'm not. It just seemed, to leave something out on the bench just seemed wrong to her, and it seemed like too much trouble. But it's not necessary. It doesn't have to be that way, right?
Oh, I don't think so at all. As a matter of fact, I spend so much less time in the kitchen. Once I strain my kefir and put the grains in fresh milk, the fresh milk has already been sitting there for a while to become room temperature. Then I just put a cap on the other, that I took the grains out of, and I walk away. I'm not in the kitchen more than 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's amazingly quick, to do this every day and to have this amazingly rich source of probiotics.
Mm. Well, I certainly am. I'm looking forward to experimenting more with particularly the cultured butter.
I'm thinking about the butter.
Well,
I think when
I get my hands on some raw cream, I'll definitely be...
which we are, maybe happening soon. So,
yay!
Now, can you walk us through just a little bit more from a scientific point of view, just the way that it develops, the way that it actually happens?
Now, this is my understanding. I'm certainly a layperson, and all I've done is read and done a lot of research on things, and I can't even pronounce some of all this stuff.
Oh, welcome to my world. Yep.
But it is amazing that scientists have tried to, for instance, example, of course, we know these things, the kefir grains are colonies of lactobacilli. They have some different kinds of yeast in them, and these are not harmful. These are not harmful bacteria or harmful yeast at all. And scientists have tested it and tried to find traces of harmful bacteria, and they've found none. Mm-hmm. They've not even found a single one. And so that's interesting that you can safely put these kefir grains into your milk and have every confidence that it's turning your milk to good. It's never going to be of any harm to you. And actually, I don't know how much you know about this, and I don't know a lot, but I do know that from canning something, which you would use heat to can something to preserve it, mm-hmm. There is a danger of getting botulism. It's not a great danger, and it doesn't happen all that often, but it is a possibility that you have to take measures to avoid when you can something. When you culture or ferment something, that possibility is not there because the actual little cultures themselves kill bad bacteria. It's been proven that they will kill E. coli, Salmonella, and I just recently found, which I thought was astounding, there's a stomach, I'll call it a bug, I don't know what to call it. It's called H. pylori. And from what I understand about this H. pylori is that it can actually, at some point, it left unchecked, it can become cancerous. And I don't know all that much about it, but I do know that it's dangerous. And kefir has been proven to kill it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just been astounded over the benefits of kefir and how it increases vitamins, but how it also kills off bad bacteria that could harm us, like the Salmonella or the E. coli, things like that. And now, there are places and people who sell the kefir grains. I personally don't. If somebody wants some and I've got enough, I'm happy to give them away. But doctors and, health people, one of the biggest things that's been pushed in recent years is probiotic capsules.
Yes.
Where you take a capsule and you get all these wonderful probiotics, and I don't know if you have priced them, but they're quite expensive.
Yeah.
To get these little capsules of probiotics. Well, so we already know that since this has become a thriving business, that it's probiotics is something that we really, really need. So I found some interesting statistics that a capsule of man-made probiotics, which mm-hmm. costs a lot of money, normally contains about 15 billion bacteria. And this is a measurement. And again, I'm sorry that I don't understand it, but I read it on the label. They say this contains 15 billion. You know, they're trying to sell their product, and and this is how it's measured. So one capsule contains about 15 billion with a B bacteria. A small bowl of fresh yogurt. Now, this would probably be yogurt not purchased in a grocery store, but fresh yogurt maybe that you make or someone makes, contains about 1.5 trillion beneficial organisms. That's 100 times more than one of those capsules.
Yes. Now, can I interrupt you just for a second? Because it's really
sure.
funny that you should be mentioning this. We don't watch commercial TV here at home, but we were out in town and we had to be somewhere. We were waiting in a waiting room. It had the television on and there was a sporting event. A popular sporting event was playing at the time. And in this sporting event, at every given moment where they could, they'd squeeze in an advert for one of these probiotic capsules. Mm-hmm. I thought, this is so interesting. And the very famous sports person who was plugging it, kept saying, you know, it's got, each capsule has got 6 billion. But you know, the first thing that I thought, because this was after I spoke to you, and I wonder how that compares with something like kefir. And it's interesting that you've compared it with just regular yogurt, in itself is so much more beneficial. And anyhow, it's interesting. Please continue.
Well, you better sit down because I'm fixing to blow you out of the water with my with the next little thing, and we already know that yogurt is made up. What makes yogurt are about 3 to 4 different kinds of lactobacilli, something called streptococcus something, and it's not a bad kind of streptococcus. It's a safe one, but it's how they make yogurt. So that's 1.5 trillion beneficial organisms in this yogurt, fresh yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
And in kefir, a small glass of kefir contains as many as 5 trillion beneficial organisms, which is 400 times more than that capsule.
Now, just remind, oh man. Now, mm-hmm. Also, just one thing I want to mention about that is that it did make me think how much money these companies spend just on advertising, because this was a prime sporting event. This is a very popular, well-known sporting athlete who is promoting this product. This is not a cheap exercise to squeeze these little adverts in throughout the actual event. This would have cost a lot of money, and they're obviously making a mozza from selling to people these man-made capsules of probiotics, which you say is free to everybody, that it's even just in the air. And what you're saying is that six billion, well, there's at least 6 billion in the capsule. In the man-made capsule, there may be 15 billion in the capsule. But in a small glass of kefir, if I heard you correctly, you said 5 trillion. 5 trillion?
400 times more than that capsule.
Than the capsule, and how much does it cost?
Well, my milk costs me $3.49 for 2 quarts. So, and the kefir grains are just, you know, they're there, and they grow. That's the other amazing thing is Hani can attest to, they will eat you out of house and home. They grow.
Wow. So, and just look, I haven't looked in the vitamin aisle for a while, but how much do you think a bottle of these man-made capsules would be? I mean, are we guessing? Yeah.
At least $30.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yes. In the United States, a normal, what I would call a normal size bottle that would probably last you for a month would be $30.
Okay. So we're talking about 60 capsules, maybe 50, 60?
Yes. 60. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it can be done for free. But this is, I mean, as you're probably realizing too, Deb, this is just a typical story across the board.
It is. And I sit there sometimes, and especially now that I'm making kefir all the time, I think, gee, I'm in the wrong business. I should be making those pills.
Well, you know, maybe you could get some little gel caps and you could sell them as well. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, the gel caps are probably made from gelatin.
Sorry, veggie caps is what I meant to say. Veggie caps. Yeah. My goodness. Do you have any other statistics that the general public ought to be told? I mean,
that's huge. But there is actually scientific evidence of kefir. They call it lactic acid bacteria. And what that simply means is, what kefir does is it takes the lactose in dairy, any kind of dairy, and it actually, you know, that's what it lives off of. It eats that, and it creates in its place lactic acid. And it doesn't sound like it would be very beneficial to us, but it is. It's extremely beneficial. And that's what the probiotic part of it is this lactic acid. And I did run across a little, it was highly technical. It was on called Google Scholar. Google has so many things that people, you know, don't even know about. They have Google Books and Google this, but they also have Google Scholar. And I ran across just a little blurb of a scientific paper that has really big words in it. But I'll try to get through this. I'll just read, one little bit of it.
Sure.
What they've done is they took the lactic acid bacteria, and they did a little study with mice, and they gave these mice that had tumors, they gave them this, they call it LAB, lactic acid bacteria. And so this is, hopefully this will make a little bit of sense. But they said that they were, these inoculated the mice on the 14th day, body weight decreased and increased survival rates in all groups with the cytoplasm of lactic acid bacteria. Our results showed that cytoplasmic fraction of lactic acid bacteria had direct anti-proliferative effects on tumor cell lines in vitro, effects on immune cells in vivo, and anti-tumor effects on tumor-bearing mice with prolonged survival periods.
Wow.
I was really impressed with that. Because I've read it on lots of other sites. It has antibiotic properties, it has anti-cancer properties. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm a Karaite, and I don't take things really at face value. I really have learn to research.
Amen.
And when I came across this this very scientific paper, I was very impressed. And I didn't probably pronounce everything, but I got the gist of it, that the tumors were shrinking. Mm-hmm. And they lived longer.
So if I'm to understand you correctly, we're talking about laboratory mice. Once they've been playing with the laboratory mice, feeding them Monsanto corn and all sorts of stuff, and so they develop tumors and problems and cancers and things like that. They then say, well, we're done with this mice. You can have these ones and feed them your lacto whatever it is that you've got. And so they gave them kefir, and what you're telling me is that a lot of them came good, and it had very substantial and noticeable health benefits, and this is just the mice.
That's right, and it was all the mice. It wasn't like, you know, most of the mice, you know, responded. All of the mice responded positively.
All of them. Okay.
All of them. So that's another thing that was very interesting. And you know, Jono, that because this is free, it's not going to go over well with the establishment of pharmaceuticals.
No, that's right. It's only, I was, you know, I was just thinking that. It's only going to be a matter of time before we see in the papers the dangers of people making their own...
Leaving milk out on the bench.
...probiotic... things and such and such diet and this and that and very, very dark. Well, you know what? I was reading one in the paper just the other day about the dangers of having backyard chickens and eating you know, backyard
Salmonella.
Eggs because, and it was called backyard, something to this effect, backyard chooks eating into the egg industry or something like that.
It was very blatant.
It's like, hey, listen, we're trying to sell this stuff. You can't do it for free. You just can't. Don't you know that if you do it for free at home, it's dangerous? Leave it to the professionals. We
don't
know what
try
to
this
do.
At home.
Yeah, don't try this at home. And this is undoubtedly, you know, I'm waiting to see those kind of headlines. Have you seen any such thing like that?
There, I have come across a couple of negative articles about kefir, but only two, to be honest. And when you actually read maybe what I would call the bottom line, they actually could not bring any solid evidence at all. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting that it was just really what I call a scare article. And I only found the one.
Mm. Well, I would expect, considering how much money pharmaceutical companies are making out of probiotic man-made capsules, I would expect that eventually we're going to be seeing more articles like that pressed in the media
at some point.
Yeah. Because that's what they have to do, is to induce fear so that people are unfamiliar with things that we should be familiar with. They would rather buy it from off the shelf in the nice packaging rather than doing it at home. And isn't that the case with so many things? Mm. So many things.
Sadly, it is.
Yeah, but just quickly, I just wanted to pick up on something you said before. You mentioned that the kefir actually eats the lactose. So if that's the case, could lactose, so-called lactose intolerant people handle kefir?
I think they could very easily. And actually, that's interesting too, because people say, "Oh, I'm allergic to milk," and they're not allergic to milk. They have lactose intolerance. They lack the digestive enzyme in their system that allows them to drink milk and not experience the flatulence that can come with that. And really, it's not an allergy at all. And if the lactose is removed, you know, they've come out now with, you know, lactose-free milk.
Yeah.
And so they've, you know, altered the milk even further, you know, to remove this lactose from the milk. Mm-hmm. But kefir does it naturally, because this is what kefir eats. It's what it lives on. So it removes the lactose and changes it into the lactic acid, which is the probiotic, you know, that's so good for us. And people do not experience the same things with kefir. There's no flatulence, there's no lactic acid there. Now, people who do have a true milk allergy, which would, I believe, be, and I hope I say this right, to the casein in the milk, which is a problem. And people who know they are allergic to casein in dairy, they should avoid dairy, you know, because of that. Now, kefir doesn't change that in any way.
So just having mentioned that, the lactose intolerance, we often hear about mothers with babies that have running nose, the babies are always agitated. They take it to the doctor. The doctor says, he's lactose intolerant. You've got to give him, go for the goat's milk or something like that.
Milk.
Or soy milk.
No.
You know, or some other, you know, creepy thing. But is it okay to kefir your milk and put it in the bottle for the baby?
It's extremely good for a baby. You might not want to do it, you know, with every feeding, but to feed it to a baby at least once a day is extremely beneficial to a little one. And there are more evidence today that's come out. And Sally Fallon, who actually wrote the Nourishing Traditions book that we spoke about the other day, she's a real pioneer in a new effort called Nourishing Babies. And they really highly recommend goat's milk, and they do recommend giving your baby kefir, you know, at least once a day to keep that healthy gut going. It's just so much more nourishing for little ones.
And of course, all of that would be secondary to breast milk. But I mean,
certainly.
Yeah, but of course, you know, it's important for the breastfeeding mother to have her health at optimum levels, and
yes,
she should be the one that is eating.
She should.
Yes. Very good point.
Yes.
Very good point.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, that's probably a good place to wrap it up for now. And so I'd like to thank you, Dev, the cultured Karaite, for coming back onto the program. We look forward to having you on again very soon, because no doubt there is much more that we can be talking about in regards to cultured foods and fermented foods. And so what I would say to the listeners is, if you have any questions or anything to add about anything that we've spoken about, please, by all means, leave comments in the comments section on truth2you.org, and perhaps we can revisit some of those or answer any questions in the next time that we get together. Would that be okay with you, Dev?
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Grand. Well, again, thank you so much for your time. Thank you, Karni, for being on the program.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm going to go and have a glass of kefir now, because I'm so excited about my 5 trillion, 400 times more than the man-made capsule. Again, thank you so much. And isn't our Creator wonderful?
Oh, amen and amen.
Amen. And in the meantime, dear listeners, be blessed and be set apart by the truth of our Father's word. Shalom.